Thelma Schoonmaker has edited every Martin Scorsese film since Raging Bull, earning her 3 Academy Awards and another 3 nominations. But Ms. Schoonmaker's latest project to hit the screen is a digitally restored version of the 1948 classic The Red Shoes. Her late husband, Michael Powell, is jointly credited for writing, directing, and producing the film, along with his longtime collaborator, Emmerich Pressburger. The movie follows the rise of a young ballerina and the battle for her between the ballet company's imposing chief and its young composer. It's been called one of the most visually beautiful Technicolor films ever made, and it's now playing at the Film Forum on West Houston Street through November 19th. I'm very pleased that it has brought Thelma Schoonmaker back to our show today. Hi.
Thank you.
I've heard the 2.5-year restoration effort required the review of more than 500,000 frames of film. Why did it have to be so complicated?
Well, first of all, Bob Gidd at UCLA, who was a famous film restorer, tried to restore it photochemically because they have all different kinds of sprocket wheels of different sizes that can cope with the 3 strips that were in the Technicolor camera. You see, the reason the Technicolor process was so wonderful was because there were 3 individual pieces of film running through that camera recording different colors. And then they made matrices from that, and then they used actual dyes like in a newspaper to imprint those 3 things on top of each other.
So when you look at the negatives, there are really 3 black and white negatives, but each one of them winds up being representing other colors.
Yes, and what happened over the years is that they shrink at different rates. So they tried photochemically to restore it, and then we decided it was going to have to be done digitally. And that, so it took a long time by the time we got the film from the British Film Institute and discovered it was covered with mold, much to our horror, and that all had to be cleaned off with people wearing hazmat suits because the solution they were using to clean it off was very dangerous. And then committing to digital and then finally scanning, you know, 500,000 frames of film and getting all the dirt removed and the mold and the fissures and cracks caused by the mold and the color surging and scratches and all kinds of things took a long time.
Now, I would have assumed that this film, which is loved by so many, it's often in the list of the 100 greatest films ever made, would have been treated better in the vaults.
Well,
is this just what happens to old Technicolor films?
Well, a lot of films are in this kind of danger. Unfortunately, the British Film Institute had done some sort of a restoration in the 1980s, but they didn't really go back to the original negatives and restore. And because they had made a new negative, they decided they could store this in a not very good conditions, unfortunately. One of the things people have to remember is that even when we do a digital restoration, it's not stable. Digital, for all of its wonderful, marvelous abilities, is actually quite fragile. Film is still the best way to restore, to store things. So even though we've restored this digitally, in 10 years, it may mean that the original digital information will no longer be there.
It'll degrade.
It'll
degrade.
It just vanishes sometimes.
Really? Oh,
in fact, all of us who have our photos digitally stored, you should recycle them to another drive or to another format every 5 years because, much to our dismay, digital has turned out to be very unstable.
On the other hand, the new print is extraordinary. It may even be better than the original.
It is better than the original. In fact, Marty and I, Scorsese and I, cannot even believe it when we look at it. It's so gorgeous and as close to Technicolor as you could possibly get, and sharper because there's more detail and sharpness because of the new film stocks.
Now, there were other Technicolor films being made at the time, but this one did stand out at the time. Did Powell Pressburger do something special to give it that special quality?
I think their collaborators, particularly Hein Heckroth, who was a painter, who replaced Alfred Junger, the great art director who had worked on so many magnificent films in England, but when Michael Powell told him the things he wanted to do in the ballet, for example, have ocean waves swooping up over the stage, Alfred Junger, this great art director, said, "You want to go too far." And Michael Powell said, "No one ever says that to me." So unfortunately, this wonderful art director was fired, and they brought on Hein Heckroth, who was a painter and who completely understood what Michael wanted to do. And the whole film is like a painting, really. And the collaboration between the writer and the the composer and the people who were doing the dancing, it was this wonderful, feverish collaboration.
Now, even though it took a lot of effort to get the Red Shoes made and distributed the first time around, that came as a surprise to me because Powell and Pressburger already had a pretty great track record.
Why it was, you mean, dismissed by Rank?
Yes. They had a hard time with J. Arthur Rank.
Yeah.
And they were already big stars. They were probably the most famous British filmmakers at that time. Alfred Hitchcock was already in, moving to Hollywood by
then. It was quite tragic because J. Arthur Rank, unbeknownst to him, had funded all these great masterpieces during the war. He didn't sort of... The films were relatively commercially successful, and they didn't get anyone in trouble except for the life and death of Colonel Blimp, the next one we're restoring, by the way. But they were successful, and so J. Arthur Rank didn't pay too much attention to them. However, when the Red Shoes came along, he just was horrified by it. There were homosexuals in it. This woman died at the end. Why did that have to happen? And he said to Powell and Pressburger, "You will no longer choose your own projects from now on." And Michael said, "No one ever says that to us." And they left and went to Alexander Korda, where they then made quite a few more films, but perhaps not of the greatness of these masterpieces that J. Arthur Rank unbeknowingly had funded. And then two Americans, Arthur Krim and Bob Benjamin, decided to take a gamble on the film and brought it to the United States, and it ran for 2 years solid here in one theater and then became a huge success around the world, even though J. Arthur Rank tried to kill it. I mean, it's amazing.
So it flopped in England because it just got bad distribution. Then in America, it became, I remember it was a huge hit, but did it become a hit again in England finally?
I don't know. Maybe it did, but what happened, it's not that it flopped. It's that J. Arthur Rank pulled it. He only gave it a 10-day run and then pulled it, which was just shocking when you think of how...
It's also counterproductive. He still spent a lot of money to make this film.
Yeah, I mean, it was the most expensive film they had made, which is about coffee money on a film today. Their films were... they didn't take much money, Powell and Pressburger. They took a percentage instead because they felt they should share the risk with the distributor. Very unusual. And that money didn't come in until really after both of them died, but... it was their most expensive film.
Now, I remember all those early Technicolor films made in this country. There was always a credit given to one woman. I think her name was something
Natalie like... Calmus. Yes,
Natalie
Michael
Calmus.
Threw off the set, yes.
Did somebody else do Technicolor in Great Britain? Did it look different?
People think that, you know, a lot of cinematographers for years tried to... Was it the water? What was it? I think it was the light. You know, the light in England is so much more filtered through clouds because there's so much more rain. And the light is different, I think. And perhaps maybe there was something in the labs, actually, that was a little better, possibly.
I understand that part of the restoration was done in India, where... Technicolor remains one of the techniques used in Bollywood films, doesn't it?
Yes, well, I don't think there's any plant, unfortunately, anymore. There used to be one in China, but it was a tragic decision made in 1954 to knock down all the Technicolor plants and go with the very chemically complicated formula we now use, which is also very unstable, by the way. The Technicolor system was a much better system, but we lost it. However, the main restoration was done by Warner Brothers Motion Picture Imaging, all those half a million frames. But the dirt removal was done in India and often is on these restorations. And so they did an enormous amount of work there, just dirt removal, but also donated an enormous amount of time, as did Warner Brothers Motion Picture Imaging, which we're very grateful for.
My guest is Thelma Schoonmaker. We're talking about Michael Powell's The Red Shoes, which... is now being seen in a new restoration, glorious restoration, at the Film Forum on West Houston Street, now through the 19th. Is this exactly the same film that was released in 1948? Because sometimes during these restorations, people go back and they find other footage that is quite wonderful.
Yes, for example, The Life and Death of Colonel Blimp, the next one we're doing, was cut by Powell and Pressburger themselves during the war because it was so expensive to make Technicolor prints. So many people, like Scorsese, saw the film on television with the whole middle section gone. But that was restored by the British Film Institute. But this film is exactly the way it was originally intended. And it's thanks to Scorsese's obsession with the Paul Pressburger films from the time he was three and saw them on television that that the Film Foundation dedicated their money and the money given to us by the Hollywood Foreign Press and the Louis B. Mayer Foundation to these projects. Because we're so desperate to make sure these great masterpieces survive, particularly when we found out they were covered with mold.
It's also because of Martin Scorsese's fascination with Michael Powell's films and Colonel Blimp that you wound up meeting Michael Powell. And
that's right.
Later
that's
getting married. You went to Michael Powell to find out how he pulled off an incredible visual trick in Colonel Blimp?
Well, not...
That's what I thought. I thought it was during Raging Bull he wanted to find out...
Oh, I know, the duel, you mean.
Colonel Blimp suddenly gets so fat.
Yes, what happens in the duel in Colonel Blimp is there's this wonderful long buildup of all these fantastic ancient codes of how you do things. Do you take a bath or not, or do only the seconds have to take a bath? And things like that, wonderfully humorous portrayal of all of that. And then when the duel actually begins... Michael Powell decided not to show it, just to show the buildup. And so Scorsese said, that's what I'm going to do with the championship fight in Raging Bull. Instead of all the terrible compromises that Jake LaMotta had to make with the mafia and everything to get there was what the drama was, not the actual fight. So he made it very quick. But it was Scorsese just kept saying when he just adored these films, and he said when he was a young filmmaker, where are they? Why doesn't anyone write about them? And so he finally went to England to find Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger. And there, the British Film Institute was just beginning to try and reestablish their reputations, and Marty just picked it up and just thrust the films back onto the world and gave them a wonderful rebirth. It was fantastic. And then he introduced me to Michael Powell, and we ended up getting married. So I not only have the best job in the world with Scorsese, but he gave me a wonderful husband.
And for me, the thrill of meeting Michael Powell, because he came here to talk
yes.
about his autobiography some
yes.
years ago. The film's plot is loosely based on Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, The Red Shoes, in which a pair of enchanted shoes force a girl to dance herself to death. And it features a 17-minute ballet based on the story. This was something that had never happened before.
It was unheard of. This is why the art director got fired, you see, because Michael Powell wanted her flying through the air and turning into a flower, turning into a bird.
Now we see that in every Hong Kong
exactly.
movie.
It's almost like the first rock video, actually, because it's so daring. And Scorsese, of course, was just stunned by it when he was 5 years old and first saw it. And so it was way far ahead of its time, and that's why he had to fire the art director.
But also allowed other people to envision making ballet sequences. In American Paris, I understand Gene Kelly cited The Red Shoes
That's
as
right.
a reason for his being able to make his ballet
He showed sequence. That film many, many times in Hollywood in order to get it made. The whole thing about The Red Shoes is that, for me as a filmmaker, it just portrays the world of art. It shows you what's so seductive about it and the dangers of it at the same time. And in a way, nobody has probably ever done. And most ballet dancers will tell you that this is the film that most clearly registers what life is like in a ballet company. And you're always backstage, and you see all of the jealousies and the egos and the fights, but still everyone pulling together and just sort of a drug-like attraction to art, which is beautifully laid down in this film and why Marty Scorsese feels so strongly about it.
It also made Maura Shearer into a star, but I remember talking to Michael Powell. He said that she felt unprepared for the role at the time.
She also hated the film, unfortunately. It's so sad because she's so beautiful and wonderful in it. And I think she was aspiring to be a dancer as great as Margot Fonteyn, who was in the same company as she was. And when Michael Powell said, I will only make the film under one condition, that a real ballerina play the part, because it was originally designed for Merle Oberon, and they would have used a double for the dancing sequences. And Michael said, oh, no, we have to be living with her every minute. We have to feel her dancing. So he chose this wonderful young ballerina with beautiful red hair, and she had never had acting training, but I thought she performed beautifully in the film, but she hated it, and she felt that it ruined her career and made people jealous of her. And she couldn't understand why Michael would say cut when she was in the middle of a move because she had gone out of camera range. And to the day she died, she was still bad-mouthing this movie that made her one of the most famous people in the world. It's strange.
And gave her another kind of career.
Yes. She was in two more Paul Pressburger films. She was in The Tales of Hoffman and also in Peeping Tom.
We were talking about the move toward digital. Well, that affects you as well. When you started editing films, you were cutting pieces of film, weren't
you? That's right.
That is not done anymore at all?
No, it's all done digitally. And there are great advantages to it because I experiment a lot more. I don't have to worry about undoing all the splices and putting together another cut to show Marty. And then
you can put together three or four possible solutions.
Right. Now I can do 15 versions by just instantly copying my edit like I would Xerox it. And so, but it doesn't change the art of it. It's only a tool. And people forget that. It's just a tool.
Well, The Red Shoes, the original, was edited the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
But we are thrilled that it has been revived and that we can see it the way it was originally envisioned. And it is currently at the Film Forum. For details about tickets and screening times, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. And Thelma Schoonmaker, thank you so much for coming by to talk about it.
Thank you. Please go see it because it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
And I can't wait to see the new restored version of Colonel Blake.
Oh, yes, that'll be so wonderful. It's my favorite, actually. Thank you.